put your website to work while you play. A website works 24/7, so no matter where you are or what you're doing, people can still find you online. Start building your website today at GoDaddy.com. It starts with a .com domain. Enter promo code 199MYLF, that's 199MILF, at checkout to get your .com for just $1.99. Some limitations apply. See website for details. And welcome to MILF Talk, where we like to talk about sex and relationships and anything to help you remember your inner sex kitten while surviving the parenting grind. I'm Sophie Venable, psychologist, mom, life coach, and author of MILF 101, Make Your Life Fabulous, and supposed expert on relationships.
Alleged expert,
especially
on relationships
of a sexual nature.
A sexual relationships?
Apparently. I know a thing or two.
You've been around the block.
I've been around the block.
Times.
Well, you know, I am going to turn 45 pretty soon, so I'll try anything twice. So, you know, I'm joined. Oh, who you hear? That's the ever charming Todd Anderson, actor, husband, father extraordinaire.
Hi.
Also
it's
gets
me.
Also gets good reviews in the boudoir.
Yes, my wife gives me very good reviews.
She's a good wife, and yeah. He's my fave person to talk about this stuff. So welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Todd Anderson.
Hi. Well, thank you for having me.
It's nice to get applause just for being you.
Yeah, it is.
Or
it
for
is.
Being born. How was your birthday?
My birthday was good.
Yeah?
I turned 43.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, you're younger than me.
Yeah?
I always forget that.
Yeah. I'm just a young whippersnapper.
You're cougar meat.
If only that were true. That's not true.
Were you ever cougar meat? Sorry. Okay, I want to hear about your birthday, and then I want you to answer that later.
Yeah, I can answer that question. I did some karaokeing with my friends.
Nice. What'd you sing?
I sang Neutron Dance by the Pointer Sisters.
Oh, yeah. And, it's all coming back to me.
And Footloose by Kenny Loggins. And at this place that we were at, what was it called? The Good Night or something
Good Night.
Like that
in
Burbank?
Yeah.
The guy who was running the karaoke was
so baked out of his mind.
He was so
you
baked.
You walked in and it just smelled like weed. And you're like, wow, do they just let people smoke pot in here? It was amazing.
Every time he got someone up on stage to do a song,
he'd step out
and just blow smoke for the whole song and then come back. And he did that constantly all night. How the guy functioned
I don't even know how he was walking by the end of the night.
No.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. And it would take a while to like get the song request.
To find a song. Yeah,
I
noticed that. He was like,
for a while, because he'd get lost in the computer. He's just like, oh. It was fun.
That was a really fun night. I actually would consider doing my birthday there. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a cool place. Yeah. I liked it. I liked it a lot. It was very silly.
Very nice. Very nice.
Very silly.
So tell me about the cougar meat story. You walked into the dressing room. Elaine looked at you from across the crowded room.
I think the only time that ever happened to me, I was in high school.
Whoa.
And I was working at the local video store in my small town. And there was this lady.
Sounds like a Kevin Smith movie.
Yeah, it is. It's like Tarantino and everybody did that of my generation. But anyway, I was... There was this lady who would come in a lot, and mm-hmm. she wore a lot of perfume, mm. and she wore very tight, revealing dresses,
mm-hmm.
and she was very flirty with me.
Mm.
I was 16,
Little clueless.
I was like, that can't be what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But
it did occur to you that...
It did occur to me,
that it
and
might
then
be?
I talked to my boss, because he was cool, and he knew I had raging hormones, and I was like, that'd be fucked up to have sex with like a married lady. And he's like, especially that married lady.
Oh.
And I was like, why? And he goes, I'll point out her husband the next time he comes in. So a couple days after that conversation, he came in. This guy was like straight out of the fucking Sopranos. I mean, this guy was gangster, you know, and like with the like, it, you know, it was like Goodfellas. It was more like Goodfellas, like with that kind of, you know, the wife beater T-shirt underneath, like an open, casual, cheesy,
like,
casual with gold chains. And he was
like,
just,
he might get messy.
He would.
Yeah.
He would.
It wouldn't bother him.
Yeah. He would have killed me. He would have killed me.
So it wasn't worth it.
Yeah, no, it was. It never happened, but I did think about it. But yeah, well, I always, maybe that happened more often than I was aware of. But I just always assumed, why would an attractive older woman want to have sex with me? That doesn't make sense. She can have sex with awesome guys. I'm just a dumb kid.
Todd.
Yeah.
Are we going to have to do a little self-esteem therapy right here on the show?
Yeah. I didn't have a lot of self-esteem.
You're a sexy beast, Todd.
Thank you. Right. I am a sexy beast.
Just keep saying that. Look in the mirror in the morning while you're brushing your teeth. And go, I'm a sexy beast.
Yeah. I did date when I first moved to LA, a woman who was almost 10 years older than me. And I found out, like, when I
you were in college?
No, I was just graduated college, moved out here.
She was 24-ish, she was 34-ish?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was working in, you know, like a bakery and gift shop thing.
Wow.
And
your retail history is interesting.
It's really weird. And she would come in and get coffee, and, you know, we started talking, and what did she say? She said, we were just sitting having a coffee, and she's like, All I really need to be happy is to watch hockey and shave my snooch, is the way she put it. And that was, I liked that. I was I don't care about hockey, but the shaving the snooch thing, that works for me. So then we started.
So did you get to help her?
No, but no. She was, you know, well groomed. And I had no idea, but I learned when I went to her house one time. Mm-hmm. After we'd been dating for a little while, I went to her house and I'm looking around and there are all these pictures of her and a guy. And I was like, who's this guy? Hmm. And she goes, that's my husband. And I was like, oh, okay. That might have been helpful information to get out of the gate. And she's like, and then she was like, no, it's not like that. It's a green. She was from Austria and she was like, it's a green card thing. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
All right. And that, like, that sort of red flagged the whole thing.
Oh. But did you date for a while?
Not after that. That was kind of after that I ended it. But we had been going out for like a couple months. Maybe.
Okay. So there was sex happening.
Oh, we had sex. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, good.
But she was all usually right. At my place.
I need one of these to turn into sex.
Yeah.
Talk.
No, this was, we had lots of sex in those 2 months before I learned that she was married. Yes.
Ah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Green card situation.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just going to go with that.
Yeah, but I was just like, at that point, I was like, well, this is a big reveal.
It's a big reveal.
This is too big of a reveal too late down the road, even though it had only been a couple months. Mm-hmm. This is something you should have said at first, because it just like, I know, okay, maybe it was a green card thing, but that just struck me.
But
as
if it
maybe,
was a green card thing, maybe you could have told me sooner.
Yeah, you should have told me right away.
Yeah, because he might not know it's a green card thing.
Yeah, he might not know it's a green card
thing. It's all about perception.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so.
She was pretty hot.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she shaved her snitch.
No, the 30s are great, man.
Yeah, the 30s are great.
I want to be back in my 30s.
Yeah.
Forever. If I had to pick an age, I'd be like 38 forever. It was rad.
I liked that. 32. 32
is good. That's good.
It was a very good year.
So Mark and I were walking around Target.
Target.
Uh-huh. And I posted a picture of this on MILF Talk Facebook page.
I saw this. Yes.
Yeah, you have to. So go. Yeah, go to. I'm trying to. I'm at Sophie Venable on Facebook, but go ahead and go to MILF Talk, and you know, and I'm going to keep most of the MILF Talk stuff on there. So I posted the picture of the end cap at Target.
End cap. What's
end
that?
Cap. You know, like when you walk down the aisle of the like cosmetics aisle or whatever, like and the thing that's featured on the end of the aisle
display.
That's called the end cap.
Oh, okay. Talk about retail experience. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's a whole other story right there. You don't even want to know that story. Anyway, go to Kickstarter, Oshibori. You'll find out. There is 50 Shades of Grey brand blindfolds.
Okay.
On the end cap at Target.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's mainstream. Mm-hmm. When your little bondage items
are at Target?
Are at Target.
On display.
On sale. by the way.
Right.
You know, packaged. They're, you know, they're getting all the branding out for the movie and everything. And I was like, wow, like that's incredible. Like that right. really, you know, to me, that's just a sign of completely, you know, sweeping the nation as far as like, this Target, alternative now, sex.
Do you think it's Target's urban markets are displaying that? Or
this
do you think
was at the Westlake Village store.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. No, this is like the new... The brand new Froofy Westlake Village store.
Oh, okay.
On the end cap. So Mark and I are laughing about like we should put those in, and then we should go to the automotive, you know, area and get like some like duct tape and wipes and you know like what else could we put in the basket?
Like to like genuinely disturb the checkout.
Yeah, some lube and some you know some baby oil and you know
hockey
like,
mask.
Oh yes, maybe like some kind. Yeah. Like go to the costume area, get some shit. Get some feathers, I don't know, from the craft area.
Yeah.
Like just everything that we could put in the cart. We had a good time like
that's
coming up with
hilarious.
Items. That yeah, sounds like really fun. Funny. So I've been, and I actually, I got to be honest, I haven't read the book because, you know, I picked up a copy and like just tried to get through the first few pages. It was just, oh, it's so poorly written. Anyway, and
yeah, you sent me links.
So I found some. Yeah, so I found some like cliff notes and stuff like that. And I'm, you know, I'm familiar with it because I've certainly talked to quite a few people about it. Because what fascinates me the most about it is just this here we have it is a Cinderella story. Okay,
sure.
So that's always a seller. Okay, pretty much, you know, you package anything into a Cinderella story or, you know, you got your basic paradigms in writing, right?
Right.
But it's a fairly abusive relationship, which is interesting because I would really like to talk to somebody in the BDSM community about, I mean, I'm sure that some of those relationships can be abusive, but I don't know that they necessarily are in the way that this relationship is. This relationship is pretty controlling.
So in their relationship, he's actually a manipulator more than he is a dominant.
Yeah.
Did you see that movie Secretary?
Yes.
With James Spader.
Kind of like that movie.
I love that movie. But that is like her character, Maggie Gyllenhaal.
She's so great.
She's great in this. But her character, that's like her awakening
yes.
of her like submissive sexuality.
Yes.
And he's the boss. So there's like that those
there's
lines
little,
are
the
crossed.
Little
but
power
it's,
struggle there.
But yeah, but it's a, you know, it seems as far as like a kinky relationship is concerned, it's all.
It's consensual.
It's all consensual.
It's consensual. And this is theoretically consensual too. But here you have this young virgin
mm-hmm.
with the rich, powerful man.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Who, of course, the dangerous fantasy I think is that you know then she ends up making him fall in love with her. But
right.
is it really love? I mean, he wants right. to possess her. He wants to you know when he marries her, you know, and then it's like a mess. It's just a
right.
fucking mess. It's like
right.
a really it's a totally fucked up relationship in
right.
my opinion. But it is. It's sort of dubbed mommy porn, which I find kind of like a derogatory, I think, in a way. It's like sort of this idea that like all of these moms are, you know, like
well,
got the baby to sleep and they're going to read their little mommy porn.
It is interesting about the sorry to stop your train of thought,
no,
but it is
okay.
an interesting thing about this 50 Shades of Grey sensation.
Yes.
In that like there has always been erotica. There's
right.
erotica everywhere, but this is like this it's like packaged as a legitimate novel.
Yes, it's the packaging.
So
I'm
it's okay
you.
To read your erotica at the beach.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean, literally it's you know, you don't have Fabio on the cover, right?
Yeah,
it's not this
yeah.
like a torn white blouse with the flowing hair and the
right.
you know, blah blah blah.
Or
it's
super provocative title like a you know, like a man and his maid. Or
yeah.
Something like
yeah, it's yeah, maiden lust. You know, whatever. It's this sleek cover.
Yeah.
You know,
what's erotica posing as a legitimate piece of literature?
Totally posing, by the way,
right.
as a legitimate piece of literature.
The highlights you sent me,
no, it's horrible.
It's
just
so
awful.
Poorly written.
And,
it's terrible.
And that's fine. You know, like whatever. Because the point is that people are really drawn to this now. And but here's the thing: it's not mommy porn. If you look at the sales, it's mostly 20 and 30 women in their 20s and 30s
right.
that are buying and reading this stuff. And it's interesting to me because, you know, the feminists are sort of saying this is really dangerous because we're looking at these, you know, kinds of relationships that basically put us back in the dark ages. Here's the rich man that kind of wants to own you, and he's going
right.
to control you and control your body and control everything, you know. And you know, she's so taken with all of this, and that this is sort of the ideal sexual fantasy. And you know, people I talk to in healthy relationships are like, well, you know, it did kind of like spice up our sex life. And, you know, like we tried some spanking and we tried some, you know, blindfolding, and it's been really fun. And that's been great. And so that in itself, that's not abusive. That's like consensual fun.
Yeah,
let's be
role playing.
Yeah. Let's do this. So maybe it's just kind of opened everybody's minds into role playing. Like maybe
sure.
that's what it has brought to, you know, brought to the surface, like it's reached critical mass, so to speak. Like,
right.
like it's okay to role play. It's okay to be in this position. But one of the other theories is that women in their 20s and 30s are so busy going out there and conquering the world that, like we've always heard about successful businessmen that kind of like want to go find a dom and be spanked or bossed around.
Sure.
Like that women kind of can relax into being the submissive and you know, in that situation in bed sexually, so that they can just have the pressure taken off.
That's true. I think when you're of either gender, if you're the dominant one in that role playing, there's more pressure to it because it's your imagination that's creating the scenarios. You're telling this other person what to do. When you're the submissive, you just relax and do what you're told.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I like a man to take charge in the
sure.
bedroom. Like Mark likes to say, every show needs a director.
Right. Right.
And I think that, but I because there's this thread of it that can help you in an insecure situation, let's say, because if
sure.
a man like, you know, picks you up by your ass and tosses you on the bed and, you know, wants to eat you alive, you know, he's happy to be there.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
You're like,
yes.
oh, okay. I don't have to be worried that I should be doing something else or that you're not having a good time or
right.
that you're doing this like as a favor.
Right. Yeah.
It's pretty clear
that
you're where you want to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that, and that takes care of a lot of shit in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sure.
I mean, you've always said you kind of like dominant women, right? Like,
Switchy. I'm switchy.
Well, yeah, I mean,
but,
you know.
Yeah, I do like.
Flexy?
Well,
we're not necessarily flexy. Switchy.
No,
okay.
Switchy.
Flexy's a different thing.
Not flexy.
Okay.
Switchy.
That's flexy is another show.
That's another. We'll talk
okay.
about that another time. But yeah, but like you say, the cool thing about being submissive, like I was raised Catholic, so I still have a lot of sexual guilt.
Sure.
That is never going to go away. It's just ingrained from childhood. It's just
right.
I got fucked by the Catholic Church in that way.
Not in a good way.
No. But so when a woman is dominant, you know, and aggressive and telling me what to do,
mm-hmm.
it takes the onus off of me,
mm-hmm.
and the guilt. I can let go of the guilt.
Right.
You
because
know what
it's
I mean?
Crystal clear
right.
that she wants to be here and that you know, like you're,
and she,
right,
but,
that you're supposed to
like,
be doing this in
right.
a sense.
And
yeah.
psychologically too though, it's she's like coming from that place of Catholic sex guilt,
mm-hmm.
she's the one who's making the decisions to do the naughty things.
Right.
I'm, you know what I mean?
You're just doing what you're told.
I'm just doing what I'm told. This isn't on me. This is her perversion that I'm dealing with, you know, sort of
right.
like that. I mean, it's not that literal in my head.
No,
obviously,
no, but
that's,
but that's
I think
no, that
what
makes
happens.
Sense.
Yeah.
I think
I never thought of that before. And a friend of mine, I was talking to him and he's like, it's because it takes all the onus, you know, you're off the hook.
Well, and I think that's the case for being submissive as a woman too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, the whole Madonna whore thing. It's like, well, I'm just being nasty because he wants me to be nasty.
Right.
You know, and this wasn't even my idea.
Right. You know? Right.
And so
I think with, I mean, I don't know. You tell me, but I think also there's a just sort of a that classic gender role of the man being the dominant thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, because women's roles continue to change and the equating of the genders.
Right.
I think, is there a missing, do you think women in general sort of miss that sexual relationship of being the woman, the girl, the...
I do because, I mean, it's something that we talk about a lot when you know, when I'm talking about kind of the chemistry of male and female and doing that man-woman dance, and we only have so many places to do it.
Sure.
Anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if a man's chemistry on some level is honed in on sort of protecting and providing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and yet we don't necessarily, you know, we don't need to be protected, so to speak, as
sure.
much, or provided for, you know, financially. There's other ways to express that. And it's sort of this social dance that we do. And I think that I feel sort of bad for this generation because I think it's kind of, you know, this, a lot of fucked up messages about it. Like, it's really unclear,
yeah.
you know, like some women will be like, I don't need you to open my door. I'm not weak. It's like, just
right.
let's flirt. Let me,
right.
let me walk on this side of the sidewalk and let me just do that, you know?
Right.
And I think that in the bedroom, that's another place to sort of I mean, the feminine is receptive. Okay, even if we're just going to look at part A and part B,
right, right.
The feminine, and we all have both masculine and feminine energy. So I'm not saying that men can't be receptive, right?
Right.
The feminine is receptive and by nature. And so to experience the masculine is one of those places where we can, you know, we can experience that dance, you
sure.
know, and experience that masculine feminine coming together. And like I said, that doesn't mean like, you know, man always on top, women receiving, you know,
right,
blah blah blah.
Right,
it's not about that necessarily, but I do think that sometimes we don't know how to let go of all of that equality in the world, in the world at large. And like, maybe we can have this interesting set of rules. Actually, I have a very interesting story about this. I have a friend whose son has like slight Asperger's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Totally functioning, brilliant kid. I mean, just amazing.
But he's on
gorgeous
the spectrum
guy.
Sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And has, and needs things to be a certain way. Right. Like,
right.
and always has. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's very interesting because he comes to, you know, his parents and says, so I'm in this BDSM relationship.
Oh, he came out like I came
oh, yeah.
out. As a,
yeah.
Oh, my.
And it's like, this is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously got a close relationship. And but what he liked about it, which he was really able to articulate beautifully, was that there was a set of rules. He knew what was expected.
Right.
The anxiety around sex was almost vanquished because
right.
it was like, oh, here's this set of rules. I know my place. I know what to do. Like, you know, and
right.
and he kind of liked it and liked the community of people. Like, you know, it's like actually it's just a group that's really able to communicate. In his
true.
Experience, which
they
was,
have to,
right, which was pretty cool. So that, and I don't think
my
that's,
safe word is, hey, stop.
Mine's Giuliani.
Giuliani.
That's a very old joke in my world. It's actually yeah. So anyway, Giuliani. Anyway, that'll make me laugh forever. Anyhow, but I think that's an example of one person and how that works for them. But I think that in general kind of applies here.
Well, outside of
you
BDSM,
know?
If you're just role playing and the dominant, like
yes.
knowing you're getting into the game. I don't know if maybe this is because I'm an actor and I have an easier time with things when I'm given these circumstances that I have to deal with
yeah.
versus like going into something and not knowing, hey, what exactly are we doing? when I, you know, when it's talked about beforehand and like, here's what I can do and, and here's what I can't do. And
right.
I know all that going in, then yeah, it's freeing and I can let my inner freak pervert come out and not
let
feel,
your freak flag fly, baby.
Not, yeah. Not, not feel bad or concerned, you know, overly concerned about her. You
right, less, I mean? Much less self-conscious.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, because it sort of becomes about this other character and this other, yeah, this other thing.
Right,
and I'm getting the sense from people, particularly in healthy relationships or marriages, where they're like trying to spice it up and keep, you know, get things. They're loving like the whole notion that, you know, erotica is just becoming more and more acceptable and that we can talk about these things and we can start this conversation because, you know, people want to spice up their marriages and keep them going and try new things and,
sure,
you know, feel known, you right. know, and feel like, oh, I can tell you this kind of like nasty little fantasy of mine and we can try it.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And you're not going to think I'm weird because look, 15 billion people have read this book.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah,
so
yeah.
It really makes it, you know, more and more normal. And I think that's really important, like in our culture, to just have this conversation, and we're gonna talk about that in another episode, about even college students just getting into the conversation about sex in general. And so this, I think, you know, there's this concern in the feminist community that this is like, no, this is a Cinderella story, and this is the ideal, and this is scary that this is becoming.
Yeah,
but.
Well, I mean,
how do we know it hasn't been the fantasy all along?
Yeah, maybe. But maybe, I mean, it's not, you put a very positive spin on this 50 Shades of Grey as far as opening people's minds up and like making, you know, sexuality okay. My sexuality, my fantasies,
well, and
are
even
all okay.
Yeah, and even sort of like a little bit of fringe sexuality, a little right. bit of like, let's try this
but,
naughty thing.
I mean, I guess that's the question that I have is it, like, the book is more about the sexual fantasy versus, you know, when I consider myself a feminist, but when, you know, you read these articles by, you know, feminists saying that this is promoting a bad relationship, a non-feminist relationship, I guess I'm wondering, is the focus of the general audience really about the relationship? Or is it about the kinky sex?
I think it's about the kinky sex.
Yeah, so do I.
I do.
So I don't know how harmful that
I really think it's about the kink. I think people pretty much read it for the, like, they're just looking for the steamy parts.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they're like, they want to know.
They're not thinking, oh, this is the way. Plus, these, you know, if women are in the, most of the women who are reading are in the 20s and 30s. These aren't kids. It's not creating this idea of what a relationship should be in their heads, is it? I mean, it's not.
No,
like...
Well, here's an interesting thing. This is Jordan Gray. He's a coach for men, mm-hmm. And he does a lot of great writing. You can find his site and blog and stuff. But he wrote an article called "What Men Can Learn from 50 Shades of Grey,"
mm-hmm.
and I thought it was really interesting because he didn't bother with all that other stuff, because what he's saying is, like, let's look at the qualities of Christian Grey. He's driven.
Uh-huh.
That's a sexy quality.
Sure.
In a man.
Sure.
Like, is anybody really going to argue with that?
No.
He has single-minded attention and presence with her.
Mm-hmm.
He's, like, right there with her. Also, incredibly sexy. Mm-hmm. Like, we all want to feel wanted.
Sure.
Right? He is affectionate, which is sort of this funny little weird quirky thing about this, like, the what did somebody say in an article, he was sort of the nicest abuser or something. It's like this right. weird, like, this sick thing. Anyway, but he is affectionate, and he's decisive,
mm-hmm.
and he's a good leader, you mm-hmm. know, like, these are all qualities that I don't think are unreasonable to say are attractive,
yeah,
right?
Sure, but the feminist argument is more about the way he controls her, right?
Yes, absolutely. And he's also, you know, he's spontaneous, he's intentional, and he's vulnerable. Ultimately, he is vulnerable,
right?
Okay.
Right.
Now, these are obviously the, you know, the modern man is just fucking overwhelmed by these requirements, I think, in many ways, it's right? It's confusing. Like, wait, you want me to be strong. You want me to be vulnerable. You want me to be this. You want me to be that. But if you look at those qualities, like being intentional, being decisive, being being driven, these feed into those other qualities.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it's really not like, hey, you have to be Superman and then you also have to like cry on my shoulder later. It's not really about that. It's, you know, So I do think that that's what women are drawn to in this character.
Sure.
You know, I mean, really, I would never want to say, like, you need to put up with some pain.
Right.
You know, beyond your comfort level. Like,
right. Right.
Then, I mean, because what people might not understand, for some people, pain is pleasure. Your hypothalamus is your pain and your pleasure center, and you can ride that fucker. Like, you can just.
Right.
I can't.
Right.
I don't like your pain. I'm not into that. But you know, if for some people, it's right there on the edge, you know, like, and some people experience that aren't into BDSM. They like a little spanking or biting or whatever. But that's not pathological, you know.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing really pathological about this stuff. Being in an abusive, controlling relationship like this, if that's what is really at the core of it, that's going to be ultimately unhealthy.
Well, I didn't read the book, but from all I understand, it's not really well written. It started as Twilight fan fiction.
Yeah, it was Twilight fan fiction.
But, you know, that feminist argument, like, while I understand the argument, I think maybe people are making too much out of just a bad dumb book that is popular, because
really are pretty much just like probably flipping through to the juicy parts,
right? And
let's just get through the juicy parts.
And he's wrote, or is it's a guy, right? Who wrote it? Is it a male? Whoever the author is wrote is clearly not a good writer from what I from the prose that I saw. So it stands to reason that this author doesn't know. The relationship just exists in the book for the kinky sex.
And it's just an
example of bad writing, that it's actually an abusive relationship that probably wasn't the author's intention, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
No, I think that all of that is to sort of illustrate his desire and his intensity and to create the passion and all of those things. And that sort of like wanton, I need to possess you and own you. And,
right.
you know, she says she's never felt so wanted and all of those things. And so the concern is that here she is, she's this virgin. She has no other experience. And she's basically learning that this is what love is. Love is that you want to possess me and you want to, you know. And so that is sort of all the concern over here. And I would certainly like to, like to think that we can, you know, we as readers can kind of see like, well, this is, you know, obvious. This is like a fucking old story. Yeah. This is like the oldest story in the book, right?
I mean,
this is Shakespeare practically.
Right.
And it's heightened and it's extreme and it's all of those things. And, you know, and we can just enjoy the fact that we're getting a little window into this dom sub thing and role playing in general.
Right.
And so, you know, they're selling, velvet sleep masks at Target, you know? Yeah. So it's like, here, if you want your bondage light.
How far away are we from Target having like a full on sex store aisle?
Oh, like swings? Like swings.
And there'll just be lubes everywhere and porn.
See, now that then it wouldn't even be fun to fill the basket. It would just be too obvious.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You can't like just go to different sections of the store.
That would be kind of cool, like a world where everybody is so, sex positive that Target has like everything a sex shop would have, where you have to go in, you know.
Oh my God!
With the ball cap and glasses, so people.
I just see
going
middle of America is just crapping its pants right now. Like you just can't. You can't. I can't even believe that they sell so many different lubes now at Target and Rite Aid, and I think even Bed Bath and Beyond. Like it's everywhere.
Which lubes,
I think that's fantastic, because if I were to give a tip, in our segment called Just the Tip?
Uh-huh.
Lube.
Lube. Lube's great.
Lube.
Lube is great.
Lube. And
what do they call
it? I have
it,
my favorites.
At my local grocery store, you know, they have it. They have like a, like it's condoms and lube.
Sexual health. I think they call it sexual health, or do they
like
call it?
The word "personal"'s in there.
Personal,
something. I can't remember what it is, but it always
but
makes me
hygiene.
Laugh.
It's not hygiene. Yeah, it's like
personal. I don't know.
Intimate health.
Maybe it's like intimacy products or.
All I can think of right now is the sign I saw at Ralph's that said "jar cheese."
Jar cheese.
Yes. There's a
sign
in a
jar.
Yeah. Yes, and there's like it. Apparently, there's so much of it that it's on the. The sign, like it, for the aisle.
It's there's.
If you're looking for jar
like
cheese,
thing?
It's over here.
I've never. What is
it's crazy?
It's just cheese in a jar.
Yeah, so I'm gonna find out what their personal lube section says. You know, jar lube.
Jar lube.
Actually, that's coconut oil. I hear coconut oil is fantastic.
I hear
it's like the all-purpose massage lube. Everything goes. It's all healthy.
Oil.
It's fine. It's antibacterial. Apparently.
Great.
Yeah. There's another tip. Oh, I should
stop.
Save some.
Well, save
I need
the
to
tips.
Save the
save
tip.
The
save
tips.
The tip. So, okay. So the conclusion here is that we need better and more erotica.
Better written.
Better written. Sure.
But you know what? I've tried personally to like when I write.
It's not easy.
It's not easy to write sex scenes. I've never like sat down and tried to write like erotica.
Yes, you
erotica.
Have.
No, I okay, can't.
Not
I,
yet, like, but you're gonna.
I've tried to write erotica, but the problem is I get turned on and then I jack it and then I'm like, oh, I feel fine. I don't need to write this erotica now. I have no discipline. No,
Nothing makes you hornier than homework, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the problem.
But when I do write like sex scenes in, you know, like when I try to write novels and all that stuff, it is hard to write sex without coming off... Like honestly, these highlights of mm-hmm. 50 Shades of Grey you sent me, I mean, it reads like a bad Penthouse forum letter.
I know.
And how do you write sex like without like that's the thing. I'm trying to keep it
all
hot,
the euphemisms,
but you don't want to make
it
clinical,
it
but you don't like
that is
want to write a penthouse. It's hard.
Between clinical and too fluffy.
Well,
like,
and
too...
just sounding dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, a Penthouse forum, I never thought this would happen to me.
Throbbing rod.
My throbbing.
It's just really...
My throbbing rod. I thrust my throbbing rod into her dripping
in her
wet,
love crevice.
It's like, the fuck? Jesus.
It's too... Yeah, it's too... it's not easy. And so for that, we will give...
Her love
we will
crevice.
Give... 50 Shades of Grey a little credit.
Yeah.
Right? Because apparently it worked for some people. And I know some pretty like sexual people who have been like, you know, it's kind of a fun read. You might want to try it, you know, like just and I'm like, oh, well, all right.
It is cool that kinky sex is more mainstream. I mean, regardless of the quality of the book.
There's actually
cool.
an article that claims that men who have kinky sex are happier and make more money.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, of course, you can get research to say anything you want. But
yeah.
I'm sure some guys who wanted to have kinky sex paid for that research.
I've had a good amount of kinky sex, and it is not equated cash for me. I would like it to.
Well, okay, you need to start visualizing that. Then.
Visualizing,
yeah.
Like being covered in cash when I'm having kinky sex.
Yeah, like Demi Moore.
Like what is that movie? Indecent
Proposal. Yeah. Oh, that's another show. So, okay, so everybody, please. Well, I was going to say go write it, but if you could just recommend it. Okay, so recommend some good erotica.
Sure.
Go to MILF Talk on Facebook or tweet it at MILF Talk and tell us where the good erotica is.
Yeah, where is it?
Because I want to know. And you would be helping your fellow MILFer to
help your fellow MILFer
to keep it hot. I think that would be a good service.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. So that's our show for today. So you can find me on Facebook at Sophie Venable. You can find me at MILF Talk. You can tweet me at MILF Talk. You can find Todd all over the internet.
I'm all over the internet.
And
And
your show is picked up. You're going to do more episodes.
Yeah, that'll start airing. It's very naughty. Mm-hmm. You're the Worst will start airing in the summer.
Fantastical. Yeah. And thank you for listening.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.